Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The boys of summer are back. And for reals, it actually is summer as they begin their 2020 campaign. What did you think? I can't wait to hear from you. Many of you are finding me on Twitter and also posting on Facebook. And producer Chris has just put up a spot where you can see Aaron Judge's mug. And you can know that's your cue to let us know the fake crowd noise, the Garrett Cole debut, the twist with Juan Soto, the cutouts at Dodger Stadium, the World Series champs in their debut with no fans. Just the whole thing takes some getting used to, obviously. And after I don't want to say no sports for 4 months because that's not fair. We've had sports. Kudos to NASCAR and golf and UFC and soccer because they have all resumed. They've all gotten on their field course, court, ice, track, yada, yada, yada. And they've managed to stay afloat. So I applaud those other sports. But the Big Four is what we crave. The Big Four is what we've been waiting for. And here is baseball. And it looks nothing like what we're used to. It sounds kind of like what we're used to, but we also know that a lot of it's contrived. I just couldn't get that out of my mind. The fact that we're hearing noise, but we're seeing no one. And even weirder was radio. So I started out watching on TV, like many of you did. The Yankees, the Nationals, they went into their rain delay, and ultimately the game was called in the fifth inning. Those are new rules, by the way. But I started out watching, and it wasn't as jarring as listening on the radio. Listening on the radio was worse because it sends mixed signals to your brain. You know in your mind there are no fans in the stands, and yet you can hear crowd noise under the highlights. So your brain is telling you there's no one there. Your ears are telling you, oh yeah, there's people there. And I felt like it was so much faker on radio than it even was on TV. So it took me not even two full games to realize I don't want the fake crowd noise of the virtual fans. Now, I don't make the rules and I don't make the calls, and the players in some cases want it. They believe it masks their communication. Obviously not that much because we're still hearing a lot of what they're saying. And the crack of the bat on the Adam Eaton home run specifically was so sharp and it was so pronounced on his home run. I heard it. I almost felt it. So to me, I'd rather hear what's actually happening in the ballpark instead of what's not happening in the ballpark. But some of the players don't agree with me, and some of you don't agree with me, which is cool. I like this debate. I think it's great to be able to have this debate instead of talking about how the virus is going to shut down sports. Boom. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home loan to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. So on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. And it's our toll-free line, so you can dial it up at any time. I want to play for you another radio highlight. So just to throw it out there so you can hear it and recognize what I'm talking about. Even though the pumped in crowd noise is coming from the TV broadcast in the stadium itself, they've got the PA announcements, they've got the music for the walk-ups, all that jazz. on radio, if you didn't know this was 2020 with no fans in the stands, you almost could trick yourself into believing that it's normal as it ever has been.
Now the pitch. Swing by Eaton and a drive to deep right field. Judge going back, way back, looking up, going, gone, goodbye. Adam Eaton cuts the Yankees' lead in half. An outstanding at bat and a long home run over the big 14-foot, 8-inch wall in right center field. That one landing on top of the FH fur tarp covering section 141. Adam Eaton's first home run of the year and the first for the Nationals. It's New York 2 and Washington 1. Bang! Zoom goes Eaton.
Seriously, if you did not know it was 2020, I feel like I said the same thing about Anthony Davis the other night. If you didn't know it was 2020 when Anthony Davis was telling you how dope it was to be playing basketball again and how the Lakers are preparing for the playoffs and how they just took this break, he made it sound like it was the All-Star break. Anyway, if you didn't know it was 2020, you wouldn't have known at all that Anthony Davis was in a bubble in Orlando. Same thing with Charlie Sloz on the Nationals Radio Network. If you don't mind, Dave, we're going to play it one more time. Because as I was listening to this back, now this is after I got to work and I'm listening to some of the audio, it was hard for my brain to process. It's like you know one thing, but your senses are telling you something else. Oh, the Adam Eaton home run, please.
Swing by Eaton and a drive to deep right field. Judge going back, way back, looking up, going, gone, goodbye. Adam Eaton cuts the Yankees' lead in half. An outstanding at bat and a long home run over the big 14-foot, 8-inch wall in right center field. That one landing on top of the FH fur tarp covering section 141. Adam Eaton's first home run of the year and the first for the Nationals. It's New York 2 and Washington 1. Bang! Zoom goes Eaton.
Bang! Zoom goes Eaton. And there's some kind of foghorn in the background. And there's there's the crazy crowd noise that sounds like it's celebrating a home run by the World Series champs. Yeah, it's just odd. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'll understand. If you like it, I'll understand if the players want it. But here's my opinion. And it took me a couple of baseball games to understand why I feel this way. We all know the challenges of 2020. It's impossible, except for those brief moments where Adam Eaton hits a home run or Giancarlo Stanton goes deep or Max Scherzer has one of his 11 strikeouts or Gerrit Cole registers his first K as a Yankee or Kike Hernandez goes deep in the eighth inning to tack on his fourth and fifth RBI. When they're playing the national anthem, when they're celebrating the win at the mound, whatever those moments happen to be, you can very briefly forget that it's 2020. But let's be honest, those moments are fleeting. Very little of the sports conversation this year is just about the game, the event, the results, the score, the achievement, the accomplishment, the drama. Very little. I heard this stat once, and I've never actually timed it out, but it seems really accurate if you do a lot of listening to baseball on the radio, which I do, or even watch it on TV. I suppose it applies there as well. In a three-hour baseball game, only 6.5 minutes are actual play-by-play. Because baseball is slow, much to the chagrin of Rob Manfred. Baseball's slow. It takes the scenic route. I've said this before, it allows me to lower my heart rate. It's my soundtrack of summer. It's a constant companion, normally. So in a baseball game, there are only 6.5 minutes in which there's action taking place, actual play-by-play. That's how I feel. I feel it's an appropriate metaphor for 2020. If 2020 is a baseball game, a very small percentage of this year, of 2020, is about the actual results, the actual achievements of the golfers, the basketball players, the baseball players. I mean, thankfully, football, we got our Super Bowl. But for the most part, it's everything else. For the most part, it's virus testing. It's the results. It's opt-outs. It's the health and safety protocols. It's the travel. It's the challenges. It's a shortened season. It's the negotiations between the players and the leagues. It's social media campaigns demanding more information. It's political. It's social. It's everything else except for the actual games. So then, since we all know the challenges of 2020, and no one is under this guise that we're going back to normal, quote unquote, no one is under the impression that sports are going to look or sound or operate the way that they do any other year. No, none of us are under that impression. None of us believe that baseball coming back for a 60-game season in the middle of July is the way it was supposed to be. No, we're not forgetting about the virus simply because we're watching baseball. We're not forgetting about the societal challenges, whether economic, whether social, in terms of the injustice and what these players are standing for, kneeling for. None of us is forgetting the setting of 2020. And with that in mind, knowing the season is unprecedented, it's unique, there's no blueprint, knowing why there are no fans at the ballparks, except for these cutouts, which I actually think is kind of funny, especially the Dodgers allowing the cutouts to be of dogs, if people want that. We all know why there are no fans there. I'd rather see and hear the authentic experience than a contrived atmosphere. Because it doesn't matter how much crowd noise you pump into that stadium, I still know this is not normal. It doesn't matter how many foghorns, how many what crazy sound effects you pipe through the loudspeakers that bleed through the TV and the radio broadcast, I still know there are no fans in the stands. And I guess for me, and this was a choice I had to make on my radio show. Okay, so you all know I spent the better part of 4 months doing a show from a super secret home base where my cat never left me alone, where my dog was constantly snoring at my feet. I couldn't move my chair because the dog was in the way, where I couldn't turn on my own microphone, where my producers and I couldn't see each other, where I was staring into a corner in my spare bedroom, where I was, just like you, dealing with a roller coaster of emotions. One day you're up, one day you're down. Some days you're all of that in the span of an hour. I chose to be authentic and real with you because that's the only thing I know how to sell. So this is only about me and my radio show. This is not saying that the decision to pipe in fake crowd noise is right or wrong. It's not a right or wrong. It's just an opinion. But I believe authentic is relatable. And because of that, because we're all going through this same weird, strange, difficult, challenging, hard year that is 2020, there's no disguising it and acting like everything's wonderful. There's not. Now, can we offer good news? Can we find reasons to laugh? Can we smile? Can we connect with one another? Absolutely. I'm not telling you all hope is lost. But in adjusting as a sports radio host, I decided to be real and authentic, to be honest about what was happening at my house, what was happening with my move, what was happening with our radio team. So the three of us all working in different places for a while. I thought authentic would appeal more because that's what would appeal to me. And as I was watching these games, I realized that's what I didn't feel. I can't relate to fake crowd noise. Again, it's not about me. This is just my opinion. But I'd rather get authentic. I'd rather get genuine. Because no matter how hard we try, there's no pretending this isn't 2020. No matter how hard we try, there's no pretending Baseball is indifferent. Basketball is indifferent. They're in a freaking bubble, for heaven's sakes. There's no pretending that just because team sports return, that means we're going back to the way things used to be. Nah, there's no way to pretend that. So why pretend there are fans in the stands? Why pretend that they're making a bunch of noise? It took me a while to figure out and then to watch it a couple of times to understand why I don't like it and why I feel like it's a waste of time. That's just me, though. I think some of you do like it. And as we just heard from Michael Duarte before the top of the hour in Los Angeles, some of the players do like it because they feel like it masks what they might be saying that could be caught on camera to their teammates or just in general. They don't want everything they say to be exposed. I think Sam Darnold can relate to that. Though, to be fair, Sam Darnold knew he was mic'd up. He just didn't realize that the ghosts he was seeing would be shared with the rest of the world. I think it would be more R-rated for football. Sure, there's going to be a word here or there that's dropped in baseball, but the intensity level is completely different than football. They're not pulling on pads and smashing into each other. Anyway, I'd rather have... I like the PA announcements. I like the walk-up music. I don't mind the music being pumped in. Just to pretend like there's actually a crowd there making noise seems like an exercise in futility. And also, we all know there are no fans. Fans will return eventually. I'd rather wait for them, because I believe it'll be worth the wait. Like it was worth the wait for baseball to return, like I believe it will be worth the wait for the basketball and the hockey playoffs. We've been holding out hope. The Big Four, they're finally back. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. It's always good to connect with you, real and authentically. Give me real, peeps. I want real. I don't want fake. Stop faking it. Okay, I'll stop yelling. On our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and then our toll-free line, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I'd love to hear from you. You may have heard. If you didn't, that's why you have me. You may have heard before the first pitch between Nationals and Yankees that, in fact, baseball expanded its playoffs. See how quickly they can get things done when they really put their minds to it? We'll explain what it's going to look like. Not going to look like what they suggested months ago. Actually, it's different.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
The voices of Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge, Yankees get a rain-shortened win at Washington, D.C., and they do it at the expense of the reigning champions, both rain, R.I., or I'm sorry, R-E-I-G-N, duh, and R-A-I-N, the reigning champs, the defending champs would have been easier, Amy. They do it at the expense of Max Scherzer, who does have 11 strikeouts, but also gives up 4 runs, while Gerrit Cole, in his 5 innings pitched, his Yankee debut allows the Adam Eaton home run, bang, zoom, and then a 1 walk to go along with his 1 hit and win. Giancarlo looks like he's been doing yoga. I would bet money on the fact that he's been doing yoga, much leaner. And you can tell he's got more flexibility, certainly dropped some weight, but just looks wiry in terms of being able to generate more bat speed and the versatility with his approach in the batter's box as well. He goes 2 for 3 with a home run and 3 RBI. And then you had the whole Juan Soto mystery pregame. Unfortunately, for him and for the Nationals, he tested positive. And even though there were some subsequent negative tests after that, baseball has to stick to its protocols. And I fully appreciate that they cannot bend the rules, not for a superstar, not on opening day. If they want to keep baseball on the field and survive a 60-game campaign on into October, they have got to be strict and stringent with the rules and the guidelines they have set up, and that applies to game days and even applies to the Nationals and Juan Soto. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4CBS. It's sponsored by Geico. Did you know right now Geico offers an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies? And that's on top of what Geico can already save you. So don't delay. Visit geico.com to learn more. 855-212-4CBS. Lots of you weighing in about what you thought watching this opening night doubleheader. It's funny because I go back and forth between opening day, which is really what we have always called it with baseball, but then opening night is more appropriate, I guess, because the games were at night. So, you know, flip-flopping back and forth, that's what I do. I reserve the right to change my mind. So lots of you weighing in, Twitter and Facebook, that's cool, and we'll, of course, take your calls. If you missed the announcement, then Rob Manfred, the commissioner, was part of the broadcast for the early game just under the wire. Of course, because it is possible to have an agreement before a deadline. The baseball owners and the Players Association agreed to expand the playoffs anyway. So you remember back with the eight, you want to talk about fake, the eight fake and phony and bogus proposals that went back and forth between the owners and the players about what the season should look like and how many games and yada, 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 yada. Please make me roll my eyes. They tabled playoff expansion. They did it because they couldn't come to any kind of an agreement. At the time, Rob Manfred was forced to mandate the 60-game season. Come to find out, it was always going to be a 60-game season. So what was the point? I can't get over that. I can forgive and enjoy baseball, but I cannot forget. Since they forgot about the minor detail of the playoffs, since they weren't able to get that part agreed to way back when, well, they waited until Thursday to decide. In fact, they will expand the playoffs this fall. So instead of 10 teams, which is your three division winners, your two wild cards in each league, they will have 16 teams. And this is how it will work. All the second place teams in the division qualify for the playoffs. Right? So it's not a bye for the top seed. It's everybody all in the pool all at once. So you'll have the 16 teams that come. So it's the first place winners, the first place division winners, and then the second place teams as well. All of those eight qualify for the playoffs. Then you, did I say eight? I was thinking football. With the north, south, east, and west. So scratch that. Can we strike that from the record? Because your host is an idiot. So going back to the first place. I'm a dope. So in other words, I shouldn't do math while I'm talking. No, I can do the math. The math is easy. It's not that many teams. Thank you, Kawhi. Kawhi's probably laughing at me, as many of you are, and that's totally fine. So again, let's go back. All second place teams will qualify for the playoffs. So you've got the first place teams in each division. Then you've got the second place teams in each division. And then you tack on 7 and 8. So 7 seed and 8 seed that are strictly determined by best record. Okay, so that's how you get your 8. In each league. First place, second place, and the next two with the best record. And there will be no byes, as I mentioned. It's going to go entirely by seeding. So according to Rob Manfred, the seeding determines the playoff series. So the first round of the playoffs, 4 3-game series. So essentially they're scrapping the wild cards. They're gone. I mean, I guess they'll probably call the 7 and 8 the wild cards, maybe. I don't even know if they even bother to call them anything now. But all the teams play right away, and they all play 3-game series. So the first round of the playoffs pits 1 versus 8, 2 versus 7. So it's more like NBA, NHL. Although, actually, not NHL, old NHL, because they've changed their playoff format, too. Gosh, it's so convoluted. So baseball is getting rid of that wild card game that many people hate. I love it. I say it's dramatic and engaging and exciting right off the top. Plus, I think it puts a premium on winning your division. So there's still a premium on winning your division, but it's not nearly as big a boon. It's not nearly as big a reward for winning your division now. So first round of the playoffs is late September, early October. 4 3-game series in the AL, 4 3-game series in the NL. And all the games are played at the high seed. So the number one seed, the number two seed, 3-4. So the top four seeds get to host all three games. So they're not traveling. That's a nod to trying to keep them all in the same place and mitigate the risk because they won't be traveling. But then once they get to the next round of the playoffs, they revert back to original format. So they're actually adding games. Not just teams, but adding games, because then they go into the 5-game series for the two divisions. The American League and National League Championship Series and the World Series are still 7 games. So not just adding teams, but they're adding a whole extra round of series with a bunch of extra games. So for those of you who are ticked that it's only a 60-game season, well, this adds a bunch of playoff games and does away with that wild card that many people get annoyed about. And so if you scratch the mistake that your host made, I'm just saying, sometimes when you're constantly going back and forth from sport to sport, and one sport has 4 divisions in each conference, and another sport has 3 or, you know, something along that lines. I'm just saying that's how sometimes my brain's in one place, my mouth is in some other place. So, you know, just spaghetti plate for a brain. I tell you that all the time. It's not compartmentalized very well. So, as Jeffrey says to me on Twitter, there goes the perfect show. Yes, sir. There goes the perfect show. That is correct. Anyway, there are no more of these wild card games that I love. I've been overruled. And so now we've got 4 3-game series as the opening round of the baseball postseason. How do you like that? How do you like them apples?
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
The good news is that Juan Soto is asymptomatic. Further good news is that the other players who are around Juan, who may have been exposed to the virus, they all tested negative as well. This rapid testing that they can do, pretty handy if you can get a hold of it. It's not obviously available to the majority of society in the United States. But it's a hit the Nationals had to take hours before they opened up the season. I dare say it won't be the last time. And it will affect most every team. Whether these guys believe that the tests are incorrect, the results are wrong, that's what Joey Gallo thinks. He still can't figure out how he had one positive test among 3 other negative tests. But baseball can't budge. Baseball can't bend the rules. Not on opening day, not for a superstar, not if a guy's asymptomatic. Baseball has to stick to the guidelines. Err on the side of caution. Overcautious. That's what MLS had to do. Despite the fact that there were a couple of teams that arrived in Orlando, handful of guys who tested positive, they caught it before they entered their bubble there in Orlando. MLS took the drastic step of removing Dallas and Nashville from the tournament. Didn't even want to take the risk. We've seen other situations where testing results haven't been available in time before teams would get on the field or the court or the ice to work out. And because of that, the workouts have been canceled. Now, it's different if it's a game and you're forfeiting a game. And I hope that There is no team that has to take that drastic step. But this is how sports stay operational. This is how they continue to compete, is by erring on the side of caution. You'd rather have Juan Soto out for a game or two games, a weekend, a series, than to have the virus spread throughout your clubhouse and all of a sudden the Nationals aren't able to play anymore. Worst case scenario, baseball shut down. And so it sucks, but it's similar to an injury. As you hear Mike Rizzo, the Nationals GM, talk about Juan and finding out this news in the hours before their first pitch, it sucks. Not all that different from Clayton Kershaw, who thought he could pitch on Thursday night. He had some stiffness in his back from an injury in the weight room. Wanted to pitch, thought he could grind it out. But his team didn't want to take the chance that this would make it worse, that him pitching would actually do more harm. They'd rather lose him for two starts than for the rest of the season. Same thing with a player who tests positive. It's frustrating, especially when you're talking about opening day, especially when you've waited so long. He's a young guy. He's a really low risk category for not necessarily getting symptoms, but for having it be a fatal disease, a fatal illness. But perspective is crucial. You'd rather lose Juan Soto for a weekend, a week even, than for the rest of the season. But in addition, just as importantly, in fact, maybe even more importantly, you'd rather pull him from the lineup than have to forfeit a game or two or have your whole team come down with the virus and then you are done for the year. And I don't necessarily mean you have to forfeit all 60 games, but because it's a 60-game season, if you miss 2 weeks' worth of games while everybody's quarantining and getting healthy, it's too late. You're already behind the eight ball and in the basement of your division and unable to catch up. And honestly, we don't yet know how baseball is going to handle that. I presume, you know what happens when you presume. Oh, no, wait, that's assume. Either way, you catch my drift. You would presume that those games would go down as losses because they were forfeited. That's what they did in Little League when we didn't have enough people to play. That's what they did at the softball league that I played in my previous network. If there weren't enough players, well, we got to win. Woo! So you would assume they'd go down as losses. Though baseball hasn't specifically addressed that yet. It's a wait and see, feeling it out process, faux show. And unfortunately for the Nationals, first team up, first team that had to err on the side of caution and pull one of their young stars. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Top of the hour. Oh my gosh, Mike Tyson. It's not so much that he's decided to come out of retirement. It's the way he announced it on TMZ Sports. Doesn't matter what age, it doesn't matter what camera or what forum he's talking to. He's just got that Mike Tyson flair. So you'll hear him after the top of the hour. Trust me when I say it's a future Hall of Fame candidate and a darn good one. 855-212-4227. What did you think of baseball's opening doubleheader? And how did you like the crowd noise? So many of you disagree with me, which is cool. I like it. I think this debate is really interesting, actually. Not that our opinions matter at all, but I think it's interesting. And so on Facebook, I'm seeing, I don't like the fake crowd noise. That's Gary. But you got other people who said, I think it was great. Linda, I listened to the games. It filled the dead air. Not bad for background noise. She says, I don't miss the screaming kids that sit below the broadcast booth. Andrew on Facebook, it felt like a Marlins game, I guess. John says, I watched on TV but listened to the game on radio to not get the crowd noise. Huh. John, that's interesting because I listened to the most of the Dodgers-Giants game on radio, and I felt like the crowd noise was actually more audible, more prevalent, more noticeable. TV's different. And I'm not really sure why, but it was. And Michael Duarte even said when he joined us in the first hour from LA that inside the stadium, you don't hear the crowd noise, the fake crowd noise, nearly as much. It's not as loud. So maybe it has to do with speakers. Maybe it has to do with the volume levels, the producers, whatever it is, how they're doing it. But I felt like on radio, if I closed my eyes really tight and tried to forget for a nanosecond that it was 2020, that I could actually believe that was a game from 2018. Because you can't see it. You can't see there are no fans in the stand. So if you can convince yourself otherwise, it actually sounded pretty quote unquote normal. And here's an example. Again, this one's John Sterling on the Yankees radio network with the Stanton home run.
It'll be a 1-1 to Stanton. And the pitch is swung on and hit high in the air to left center. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Away back in the left center field seats. A Stantonian home run. Giancarlo, no si può stopparlo. Oh, what a shot by Stanton. It's a two-run dinger, and the Yankees immediately take a 2-0 lead.
You even hear it right at the very beginning where he takes that pause. Dave is laughing. John Sterling is definitely in midseason form on the Yankees radio network. Here's the weird thing. He's not in D.C. He's, I presume, well, this is what I was told. I guess I didn't actually see it, but this is what I was told. Sterling and his partner, Susan Waldman, were at Yankee Stadium in the Bronx. So they would have an actual feed, no delay. If you're calling it on TV like Charlie Steiner was at his home, there's a delay. Like a major delay.
That's just the crowd noise.
Yeah, but that's what my point is. If you just listened to the highlight, you wouldn't know there were no fans in the stands. And that's why I feel like they're trying to dupe us. Do you feel like they're trying to trick us? Like we're stupid? Like we don't realize there are no fans in the stands?
I mean, I guess there's some money to be made maybe on someone's end, but I hate it. I really hate it. It's like...
Wait, we actually agree on this?
On TV?
Yeah.
It's like anything else you look at for a long enough period of time, you're just going to get used to it. Like my kids were watching the first inning. I was like, hey, look, it's baseball. And we're Yankee fans. And they were like, oh, that's weird. Where is everybody? And I had to explain it to them because they're not, you know, big into sports. But you'd get used to it. After a couple innings, you're just like, it's baseball.
Right, exactly. The crowd is part of the trimming. It's not the focus. It's not the main thing. It's not the big thing. That's the game. That's the athletes. That's the flow. That's the drama. The crowd is, it's part of, it's like trimming your Christmas tree. It's part of the decorations. And I agree with Dave. It's the same as what I've gone through in watching NASCAR, in watching soccer, in watching... I haven't watched UFC, sorry, but in watching golf, you adjust. It's jarring at the beginning, and it's quiet, and it's weird, and it's even eerie at times, but you just get used to it, and then you start to hear the other sounds in place. And as I mentioned with the Adam Eaton home run, at least on TV, it was so sharp, and I loved hearing the crack of the bat. And Chad says on Facebook, I welcome the piped-in crowd noise. It would be very hard to sit through a 9-inning game with silence. But it's not silent. It's anything but silent. So I don't mind the PA announcements or the walk-up music because that's authentic. That's what they would have at every game, regardless of how many people are sitting in the stands. But when you listen to it on the radio and you hear this ambient noise, this crowd noise, it's like they're trying to fake you out. It kind of freaked me out, actually. So I agree with Dave. You adjust. You just get used to it. And eventually, we'll get fans back in the stands. And so, I don't know. I don't like the idea of it being fake. Like they're trying to trick me. So yeah, it definitely wouldn't be silent. It obviously isn't what we're used to. But I wouldn't mind the opportunity to hear the real sounds of the game more than we ever have before. Maceo on Facebook, it was great to see the guys in action. Baseball is back. Sandra says the fake crowd noises were okay. They were mostly just background. I wasn't aware of them most of the time. I do wonder what the players think. Bill says no to the fake crowd noises. Was looking forward to hearing the crack of the bat, the ball hitting the glove, the umpire yelling balls and strikes, and what the players are saying. The true sounds of baseball. Agreed, Bill.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.